I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. Scripture is a living document. Our Bible isn't something that was written 2,000 years ago, bound into a tome, and handed down to us as a static volume. In fact, translations improve over the years, the centuries. Studies of language and culture are constantly shifting meanings within the Bible. What we understand a parable or a story to mean changes as we, the faithful, learn more, as we experience more in our own lives and in our world, and also as our own sense and use of language changes. To that point, I geeked out this week because I was interested to learn that the translation of this fairly well-known passage has shifted in the latest edition of the New Revised Standard Version, NRSV Bible, which is what we read every Sunday in our church. The change is small, but for us it sheds a different light on this passage of Jesus in the wilderness with the devil. Now, I would say most of us who are familiar with this gospel reading today would say Jesus was facing what in the wilderness?
Temptation.
Wow, you guys were really, the 8 o'clockers were louder than you. Temptation is the correct answer, yes. Yeah, you are close. Jesus has been baptized and then is immediately led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And after 40 days, the devil shows up to tempt Jesus. Now, Jesus, we know, has fasted these 40 days, and now the devil offers food, and then power over all the kingdoms of the world, and then to use God's own power for Jesus' own gain. And we see Jesus with his superhuman willpower resisting all temptation, yet the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, also known as the NRSVUE. How's that for some alphabet soup to start your day? But they've made a change, and they've made a change to say that Jesus is not tempted, but rather Jesus is tested by the devil. Now, unbeknownst to me, there is a whole lot of theological writing out there about the difference between tempted and tested. And both of our associates were able to answer my pop quiz this morning when they walked in. So hang with me for a moment. Some writers will say that temptation is something that is put before you, or in this matter, Jesus. And that it is meant to pull you away from God. A temptation is to lead you astray, and it is most often offered by the devil himself. But a test will prove who you are and what you know. It may seem like a minor difference, but when we look at Jesus with the devil today, changing from a temptation to a test changes the story. No longer is Jesus resisting the devil with all of his humanly might. Rather, Jesus is showing the devil and all the world, and maybe even himself, who he, Jesus, is and what his reign will look like is revealed with each and every test. The time becomes not about willpower, but about what is Jesus' identity. Turn stones into bread after a 40-day fast. Well, Jesus has not only come to feed others, but not himself, but to actually deal with the underlying causes that lead to hunger. Jesus' reign isn't about commanding all of the powers and the authority of the world. Rather, Jesus has come to teach us, to remind us, to show us how to use God's love for us to better rule the world. Jesus falling from the tallest pinnacle of the temple only to show that he can save himself. Jesus isn't here for party tricks. And we already know that Jesus, in fact, will give his life and die on a cross so that we might come to know and understand the depth of God's grace and love and forgiveness. You see, a test demonstrates what a person knows and how they have integrated that knowledge into their own lives. In this moment, between his baptism, in which God names Jesus as his son and beloved, and Jesus stepping into his full ministry in the Galilee, in this in-between moment, Jesus tells us who he is through these tests. He demonstrates what God's power looks like and how it is to be used, because tests, not temptations, define Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, came to show you and me what God's love looks like. Justice and forgiveness and grace and mercy. We see Jesus use these throughout his ministry as he asserts his authority, not with authority as the governments of our world, but with God's authority, one that is not based on a quid pro quo, but is based on the fact that there is enough for everyone, so that everyone can be fed, everyone can be housed, everyone is empowered, everyone knows that they are God's beloved. So this shift from temptation to testing, it made me think about our own Lent and our 40 days in our wilderness. And it made me look at my own Lenten discipline, and I offer these questions to you also. If you chose a Lenten discipline as we are to be preparing for the tests that will come to our lives, if you chose a Lenten discipline, does it point to your identity as a child of God? Does your Lenten discipline deepen your understanding of who you are as God's beloved? Does it challenge you to draw closer to God and closer to understanding where God is calling you to follow Jesus? Does it help you examine where you are strong in your faith or your relationship with God, and maybe where you need to attend to God more often? Does your Lenten discipline point to your identity as a Christian and how you live into that identity in your daily life? We prepare for our tests with prayer, with studying scripture, with intentionally living into our baptismal vows. These are all ways in which we strengthen ourselves for the tests that we will face in our own lifetime. Tests of our faith, tests of our relationships, tests of our ability to follow Jesus and extend mercy and grace and forgiveness and love. So this Lent, get out your number two pencils, for those of us who remember what those are for, and get them sharpened. And in community, I invite you to learn more about our faith so that when we are put to the test, we have a deep well of knowledge and experience to draw upon. Amen.